Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind the beauty of life. Was when my mom said, again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish gills, the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Up the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey Newton.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
GVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the line. Real Bashir and greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Ronnie Hughes, your head secure, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is to free our new African prisoner for release, reducing new African citizenship, and the overall goal is to transform the whole entire prison slave complex, which is the prison to the big interest learned through educational means. Before I bring on a guest tonight, I'd like to go to a couple of events that happened in history during this week. In 1864, the Confederate troops defeated three black and six white regiments at the Battle of Olustee, about 50 miles from Jacksonville, Florida. 1869, Florida Governor W.C. Brunlow declared martial law in nine counties in Ku Klux Klan crisis. 1895, Frederick Douglass, a former slave who became the most celebrated African American of the 19th century, died at Anacostia Heights, District of Columbia, at the age of 78. He was an abolitionist, lecturer, and editor. Douglass was a leading African American spokesman for almost 50 years. Okay. In 1936, John Hope,
prisoner at Atlanta University, died at Atlanta at age 67. Also, on the 20th, Reverend Howard Thurman, his wife, Sue Bailey Thurman, and Reverend Edward G. Carroll met for 3 hours with Mahatma Gandhi at his camp near Bardoli, India. Gandhi told them that it may be through the Negroes that the unadulterated message of nonviolence
was delivered to the world. Hold on right quick. Okay, I'm back. 1947. Jeff Fort, political prisoner, a.k.a. Abdul Malik Kabbah, was born. On February 21st, 1895, North Carolina legislature, dominated by black Republicans and white populists, were joined for the day to mark the death of Frederick Douglass. In 1940, John Lewis was born. He was a notable civil and human rights leader. At age 23, he was a keynote speaker at 1903 March in Washington, and he was in Congress in 1986. On February 21st, Elhart Malik El Shabazz was assassinated at 39 years old at Audubon Ballroom, Harlem, New York, at a rally. A rally of his group, the Organization African American Unity. In 1968, Arthur Mitchell, the first black Democratic congressman, died in Petersburg, Virginia, at the age of 84. In 1998, Julian Bond, elected chairman of the NAACP. On February 22nd, 1864, President Lincoln, Louisiana commander, General Nathan P. Banks, held a state election with Lincoln's knowledge and consent based on free white voters. Michael Hahn, who ran a racist campaign based on his opposition to black suffrage and equal rights, who was supported by General Banks, was elected. 1865, Tennessee voters ratified new constitution that abolished slavery in their state. Also 1865, Kentucky rejected the proposed 13th Amendment. 1898, black postmaster Fraser Baker lynched and his family burned out of their home in Lewiston in Lake City, South Carolina. The postmaster and a baby in arms killed his wife and three daughters, shot and maimed for life, and his son wounded. In 1930, Janice Lawson was born. A human computer was the first black woman hired in a technical position at what became NASA, National Aeronautics Space Ministry, during the race to outer space. February 23rd,
1868, Dr. W. Du Bois was born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. 1869, Louisiana governor signed public accommodation law. 1895, William H. Hurd, AME minister and educator, named Minister of Liberia. In 1915, Robert Small, Reconstruction congressman, died in Beaufort, South Carolina at age 75. In 1960, a race riot occurred in Chattanooga, Tennessee at a sit-in demonstration. In 1965, Constance Baker Motley, elected Manhattan Imperial president, the highest elected office held to date by a black woman in a major American city. In 1971, Reverend Walter Frontroy, a former aide of Martin Luther King Jr., became the first non-voting congressional delegate from the District of Columbia to the Reconstruction period. 1979, Frank E. Peterson Jr., named the first black general in the Marine Corps. February 24th, Reverend Daniel Payne, the first black college president in 1811. 1868, House Representative voted 127-47 to impeach President Andrew Johnson, who had opposed Reconstruction on the basis of black suffrage and equal rights. In 1966, leaders of the army and police overthrown the government of Ghana president, Kwame Nkrumah, who was an agent on a Vietnam peace mission. Nkrumah was welcomed in, where he was given the honorary title of President of Guyana and Ghana. In 1988, blues singer Memphis Slim died in Paris at the age of 72. February 25th, 1839, Seminoles and their black allies shipped from Tampa Bay, Florida to the West. 1867, new registration law in Tennessee abolished racial distinction in voters. 1870, Around R. Rebels sworn in as the first black U.S. senator and the first black representative in Congress. 1960, Alabama State College students stayed first sit-in in deep south of Montgomery, Alabama courthouse. 1964, Muhammad Ali defeated Sonny Liston in Miami for the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship. 1964, some 172,000 students boycotted Chicago public schools. 1975, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed at the age of 77 in Chicago. February 26, 1869, the 15th Amendment guaranteed the right to vote since the debate for ratification. 1870, Wyatt Outlaw, Black Leader of the Union League, and Almanac, North Carolina, was 1877, at a conference in the Wormley Hotel in Washington, Representative Rupert B. Hayes, a representative of the South, negotiated agreement that paved the way for the election of Hayes as a president and the withdrawal of federal troops from the South. The decision supported by all major white institutions in America was in essence a national decision to let the white South do what it wants to do in managing the racial problem. 1920, Dr. Carter Goodwin Woodson founded the Associated Purpose. He also was responsible for returning our Black History Month. 1930, the Green Passage opened at New York's Mansfield Theater. 1946, a race riot occurred in Columbia, Tennessee. Two were killed and 10 wounded. 1965, James Lee Jackson, a civil rights activist, died of injuries reportedly inflicted by officers in Marion, Alabama. 1978, we witnessed the death of Mangaliso Sabukwe, who was the founder of the Pan-African Council of Zania. 1989, trumpet player Roy Eldridge died in Valley Stream, New York at the age of 78. 1992, Houston University President Marguerite R. Barnett, who became the first black woman to head a major white university, which was late 1990, died in Wailuku, Hawaii, at the age of 49. There was also another thing that I missed out on. February 22nd, 1928, Clarence 13th, Kwame became known as Father Law, born in Danbury, Virginia.
Okay. And no, there was a couple of events that happened in history during this week. There were more, but the show must go on. All that's here, free land, those identified as land, revolutionary ingredients, free all the political prisoner, POW, free all the catching new African citizens. Thank you, everybody who been following us, our broadcast in 2014. I want to thank everybody who turned to educate themselves in the community, their neighborhood, their environment, their collective, their cadres, and their formations. Want to make a difference. And I'd like to thank the youth who taking the opportunity and making the sacrifice to continue on the struggle. On this show tonight, we're going to be talking about Art and Resistance. It's a program that's taking place at the end of this week called Resistance in Black. They're featuring various artists from around the globe. Some of the artists like Bob Nosa, Uwabo, Hamza, Street, M. Gail, Asaley Dixon, and Audrey Lutalo. So on the show tonight, we're going to be joined by Elder Audrey Lutalo, the artist Hamza Street, and the brother Bob Uwabo. I'm about to open up their lines. How y'all doing?
This is Audrey. I'm doing fine.
Okay. That's good. Who are they talking?
Brother Hamza is on. Bomani, Brother Noza couldn't join us tonight from Nigeria,
okay.
But Hamza is on from the UK.
Okay. Brother Hamza's on. Okay. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Good to be on.
Walaikum salam. Okay.
Brother Noza and anyone else tonight, so I could join you also.
Okay. We appreciate this comical. Okay. First off, I'm gonna start, Brother Audrey. Can you tell the people about yourself? They know who you are, who you're speaking. Tell the people about yourself, your background, who you are.
My name is Audrey Lutalo. I'm a New African, former U.S. political prisoner. I served 28 years in Trenton State Prison. 22 was served in the Management Patrol Unit for anything critical thoughts that the government didn't approve of. I maxed out from Trenton State Prison on August 26th in, by way of a court order in 2009. I've been working with Bonnie Kness at the American Fresh Prison Project since I've been out. I first got involved in the struggle in the early 70s, and then I committed myself to that totally since then.
Okay. Brother Hansa, can you tell the people about yourself, your background, who you are?
I would consider myself a political revolutionary artist for a decade and a half now. And I've been hugely inspired from a very young age from Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, you know. And it kind of, especially Malcolm, a lot of my internationalism and the way I view the world and politics and how to combat the world order, in effect, comes from Malcolm. I know it's only been a few days since the anniversary of his death, or his martyrdom, shall I say, and I really consider him very much alive, you know, and I try to portray that through my art to reflect that.
Okay. Sister Tomiko, can you tell a little about yourself? I know you're the curator of this event. Can you tell the people about yourself, who you are?
Yes. Well, my name is Tomiko Shine. I am one of the curators myself and Aisha of the Jericho Movement, which represents political prisoners. I head up the organization Aging People in Prison. We advocate to get elderly people out of prison. And so we've come together, me and her, to collaborate on this project to bring these artists into everybody's worldview and to make sure their art is seen.
Okay. I have some questions in regards to this. My first question is, what actually is the name of the event, and what is the purpose of the event, and how where will it take place, and how can people join, get involved?
Yes. What ignited the event is, it's interesting, we have actually four artists. We have Brother Hamza on from the UK, Audrey Lutalo from New Jersey, former political prisoner, Gail Dickinson, who was former Black Panther Party, the only woman graphic designer at one time in the Black Panther Party, and Bob Noza of Nigeria. And it's interesting, the two artists we have on tonight, I was introduced to them when I was working with the Spirit of Mandela that happened, International Tribune, that happened late last year in New York. And so I was one of the ones that headed up the booklet, the program booklet, and we wanted to have artists. And two of those artists that we selected was Brother Hamza, that's on now, and Ojiri Lutulu, because their work was so raw and so inspiring. Looking at that, me and Aisha began to talk, and we said we have to do something to continue to bring these artists' work, make it into a visual platform. So that was an inspiration. It will be on this Saturday. It will be a virtual international exhibition from 11 Eastern time to 1 p.m.
Okay. So for the where it be on Zoom, or where it be on Clubhouse, or StreamYard? What platform will it be on?
Yes, the platform is going to be on Zoom. Me and myself and Aisha have been sending out various emails, but also the exhibition has its own website. Art Revel is the website, Resisting Black. You can find that website. I'll repeat it again just to make sure, and on there you can also find the date and you can sign up for it. Mm-hmm. And we also have Instagram pages too, Resisting Black, yes.
Okay. I have another question that then I'm gonna get to some of the artists. I also see that is a exhibit panel. They're gonna be a prelude to a hybrid in person event at the Black August exhibit. What exactly is the Black August exhibit, and what do they consist of in particular?
Okay. Well, these artists. This is the first part of the exhibition. So this is the virtual part. And during Black August of this summer, we're going to have, which is an in-person hybrid, will be in-person and virtual, will be an array of revolutionary artists throughout the month of August displaying their various artwork. And we'll give more details as that goes on.
Okay. I appreciate it. I got one more question. You mentioned that it's a website. Is the information on the website gonna lead you to the how to sign up on the Zoom, or is it a separate link to that situation?
Yes. Everything is on the website. You can sign up on the website, and you'll be sent the link directly. And I'll mention the website towards the end again. Yes.
Okay, I appreciate that, sister. Okay. I'm going to go to the Elder Ojiri. How you doing, Elder? Elder Ojiri, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you there, Elder?
Huh?
Okay. Yeah, okay. You hear me? Can you hear me, brother?
Are you speaking to Ojiri?
Yeah, I'm speaking to Ojiri. Yeah.
All right. So what's the question?
Yeah. Okay. My question is, what actually is your definition of revolutionary art? What is your definition of that, and how do you get involved with it?
Well, I got. When I was in prison in the Madison Patrol Unit for 22 years, I started doing political propaganda about the police brutality or political isolation, military isolation, the murders and assassinations of black people in America. I have over 200 clauses that I produce. I'm still producing them now. Out here, right? And I learned a lot from Emory Douglas from Black Panther Party.
Okay.
I believe that the visual is more effective than the verbal, because my artwork tells a story. and all people have to do is look at it and study it, right, and come away with a clear understanding of what I'm trying to say, what's being said. And then if you want to know more about me, they can go on YouTube and just download and put my name, and they have a series of DVDs on YouTube.
Okay, that's good information. My next question to you is, how important is it for revolutionary art to be expressed in the movement? How important is it? What is the significance behind it?
Oh, it's really important because a lot of people don't read for various reasons, and again, the last is my artwork is designed for the visual, for the visual effects of everything.
Okay. I have another question. During your times in control unit and mass incarceration, have you ever been attacked, persecuted, or disenfranchised due to your artwork?
No. Well, I went to prison as a revolutionary, and as a revolutionary, I came to terms with the process of death. So once I got in the prison, I came into prison with that hype from the street. So when I was in Penn State Prison, right, the prison administration didn't want me a population spreading my points of view to whoever might be interested, right? So they isolated me in manager control unit. Well, again, for anything critical thoughts that they didn't approve of. The management control unit is a political unit. Nobody in the control unit was there for violating any of the prison rules. So I used to do a lot of writing when I was in the control unit. So I used to get a lot of requests. People used to write that, what do your control look like? What do you do every day? So I just started creating political propaganda and sending it out to Bonnie, who worked at the prison project in New Jersey, right? American Forest Community Prison Project in New Jersey, right? And so she would take the staples and get a circle and get it blown up and start circulating it. She would travel around the countries, colleges, churches, universities, teaching the politics of isolation and struggle in general, right? So I met Bonnie in 1986 when they first put me in the control unit. Yeah. And then, like I told you earlier, I'm going to send you a Bonnie story so she can speak for herself there, right?
True indeed. You know, when you first mentioned it, Naya, it didn't dawn on me, but I knew exactly what you're talking about. And also to know that the American Friends Society had been active in the liberation struggle or the prison movement in general, incarceration for decades, as well as a lot of the Quakers as well, So, yes, it's a deep, profound history in regard to their particular work, their efforts, and also the educational aspect of the organization, and also the people that they've been supporting over the years from the East Coast to the West Coast. Especially in solitary confinement.
So, me and Bonnie started the Control Unit Monitoring Project in 1986, right? And then just boomed from there. Then Stop Max came after that, right? And Bonnie did a whole lot. Bonnie became involved in struggle project. Bonnie got involved in struggle in 1963. And I met Bonnie in 1968. And so once I seen where her hit was at, we just started working together. Yeah. And then you can go on YouTube, and Bonnie also has DVDs on YouTube that you can see where she's telling her own story. Okay? It's just, just Google her name, and she'll come up. Google my name, and we'll come out.
Okay.
And Messiah, he knew Bonnie well because he worked there in the office for 10 years.
Yes, sir. American Friends Society. Yes, sir. Service Committee. Yes, sir. Yeah. You're right. You know what I'm saying? He talks about it a lot. in regards to the information that she has. You know, her involvement. Yes. True indeed.
And so what we do at the prison project is like we get like letters from prisons all around the country, and they're always requesting and most of the prisons be in isolation. So we have a pamphlet out called we have a pamphlet out that we send out to prisoners who make a request for literature in isolation, right? It's called the Survivor's Manual. And we also have a survivor's manual for women who might be in isolation in prison, right? And we have a series of publications that we send out to prisoners who might want literature. Yeah.
True indeed.
And we have a backload. Because the problem is we have a backload of mail sitting in the office unanswered because like when prisoners get out, they don't stop by and come up and lend a helping hand to respond to the mail that's coming in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if an individual wanted to obtain a survival manual, how would they go about doing so, or even obtaining more of the information that you're talking about? How would it go about doing
so? Like we have a listing of pamphlets and publications that we send out, and then right now I'm on a medical break because I hurt my back exercising. Right, but once I get back into the office, right, I can send you a copy of everything that we do. And as I told you earlier, right, I'll definitely send you a personal packet of my material and Bonnie's material.
Okay. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. You know, yeah. As you preach, you know, that first off, I'd like to salute you. You know what I'm saying, for all your efforts, all the work you did in the past, present, and future, all your sacrifices. You know, all your years of commitment, and the commitment that you still have today. You know, and also, spread the aspect of positive words in regards to your continued health in our movement. Continue to push on, inspire, educate, motivate, and inspire other individuals behind you to be greater than you. So I salute you and all your efforts.
One of the problems is that in today's world struggle, we don't have no examples being set. Most people want to dwell on their past events or past exploits, right? And then with this new generation, right, they don't read or they don't want to read. And so again, the visual is more effective than verbal, right? And live examples more effective than just looking at a collage depicting something political.
Yeah, I got you. And guys, you're right about that. You know, it's more about theory, putting theory into practice.
Exactly. And the people aren't interested in dwelling on the past over and over and over again, right? Because nothing has changed in terms of our oppression, right? You know, the police are still murdering our people, black people. Like, they don't have no regard for black life. They don't fear or respect us as black people, right? So they just kill us at will, right? And just all people want to do is just march and demonstrate. You know, that doesn't change anything. It hasn't changed anything. It never changed anything. So there's a need for direct action, which can't be discussed on Facebook and other forms of communication like that, right?
Yes, sir. It's understood. You know, it shouldn't be.
So we have to get together off the social media and come up with new strategies as to how we can deal with our problems, right?
Yes, sir.
But then another problem is, like, when I contact people, the first thing they ask me for is, send me your email. I told them I don't do that. Well, the fact is, I told them I don't do that either because the government is monitoring everything. Yeah. So people don't want to come together face to face anymore.
Right about that. I'm about to get some questions in with the other brother right quick. Then I'm gonna get back with you. I'm gonna get some questions with him. I know we ain't gonna be on long, you know. But again, you know, I appreciate you coming to your broadcast, sharing your understanding, and sharing your experiences. But I will come back to you. Okay. No doubt. Okay. Brother Hamza, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I understand that you that you deal with Palestinian liberation, right? You know, for people who are not familiar with that, what exactly is that?
Well, just to give you a backdrop, I just turned 45. In 1982, when I was only a young child, I had clear memories of my father watching a television channel, a broken down TV, and he was watching the Lebanon on TV, and he was crying his eyes out. My father's English was not correct, so he couldn't actually come to terms with what was happening. But it was clear for all to see, I suppose, it was death and destruction. So my point being is, from a very early age, I connected with people of struggle. And because of that, of course, I couldn't ignore the Palestinian question, of course. I mean, some people have been watered down to the extent today that they consider Israel, obviously, a legitimate state. But it's only a white settler colony. And it's not the first place in the world they've tried it, of course. But my job as an artist is to galvanize support for their freedom. I'm sure all people of struggle could connect with that story, you know. And I think my job as an artist, as a human being, a person, is to connect.
Okay.
Hey, this is OG. I have a question for this brother just spoken. I say, can I speak to him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you tell me what is life like in the Gaza Strip? That's my question.
Is that a question to me, sorry?
Yes, question for you.
Yes, for you. Go ahead.
Could you repeat the question? Sorry, the sound's not too good.
I said, what is life like in the Gaza Strip? And a couple of years ago, me and Bernie had some sisters and brothers from Palestine who came up to the office.
I was very fortunate to go to Gaza in 2010 with an organization called Road to Hope. Basically, there was like 100 international people who got together, tried to break the blockade of Gaza, a legal blockade of Gaza. And I was there it was a 6-week process to get there. It was very difficult. And I spent a few days in Gaza, and the struggle is real there because you got to remember that Israel, through their blockade, with the help of Egypt and the other neighboring countries, have basically reduced the people to live off what they have without any imports. I had a friend who became a friend with a Welshman who was a magician, and he bought like a large vehicle full of toys, and the Egyptian authorities didn't let us toys into Gaza. So this shows the extent of you know what those people are facing. I mean, just imagine being locked up in your own house and you're not able to leave. I mean. But imagine the grand scale. It's inhumane what's happening there. I can't put it in any other words. And then on top of that, when these people resist, they try to break out. They try to, you know, try to live effectively. You know, the words like terrorism and all sorts of things like that are branded against them. But that's the duplicity of the world we live in. You know, the powerful kind of make their own rules and laws. And they very rarely abide by them, as we found out in Iraq, the legal war there, and they do have the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have some pictures of female suicide bombers that I collected in when I was in the patrol unit. So at some point, I'd like to get them to you.
Okay. Brother Hopper, did you hear what he said?
No, I didn't get the phone. Sorry to hear. The sound's not great. So I'm not hearing well from here. Could you just repeat that?
When I was in the patrol unit, Trent State Prison, I was collecting. When I was putting artwork together, I got several pictures of female suicide bombers that were criticizing men for not standing up to fight against the apartheid state there. So at some point, I would like to send them to you.
Yeah, you know what? I was reading a real brilliant a quote from an Algerian freedom fighter in reference to, you know, the French project in Algeria, and they were accused of the resistance were accused of planting bombs in you know, prams and this kind of thing, and the journalist asked him, you know, why are you using prams with bombs in to attack the French soldiers? And he said, you give us your S-16s or your war players, and we'll give you our prams. So, I mean, people use whatever means they have to their disposal to resist. And that's a human right, you know. It's a God-given right, you know. I don't think we can have begrudge any people who are facing, you know, multiple forces of aggression upon them. No, resist that aggression. I mean, that would be crazy. You know? It's almost like asking a woman who's being attacked or raped not to defend herself by whatever means she has to her disposal. You never say that to someone like that. So why is it any different to, you know, people who are facing the same struggle?
True indeed. True indeed. I have a question for you. I know you mentioned earlier that you like to do a lot of work with do a lot of work in regard to Malcolm X. What actually is the significance of Malcolm X in your art, and what is significant to Malcolm X in the revolutionary struggle worldwide? What is significant to you?
You talking about
Yasmin?
No,
I'm talking to Hamza.
Oh, but are you talking to me?
That was for Hamza.
I'm talking to Hamza, bro.
Okay, he was saying, Hamza, what is the significance of Malcolm X in your work and the significance of Malcolm X to the revolutionary struggle?
Oh, wow. I've been really fortunate, you know. I mean, I was 15 when I watched the Malcolm X film, right, the Spike Lee movie. And I'm hugely inspired because having loved Muhammad Ali growing up, you know, I always wanted to know why Muhammad Ali was the way he was, you know, the way he thought about the world. And then when I got to know about Malcolm, it just took me into a new realm of opening my mind and connecting struggles, like I mentioned earlier. And what I loved about Malcolm was he was never afraid, you know, and that sort of... And with that sort of intellect and thinker that still profoundly affects people today, I mean, he's way ahead of his time. And to me, he's incomparable, you know. Like, it's really tangible to think that someone like that, who was only here for 39 years of his life, affected so many people and still does to this very day, you know. So... And like I said earlier, I try to reflect that through my art because I think a lot of times, a lot of ideas are, you know, the essence is kind of conditioned away from us, you know, by the media or by the state. And because of that, we don't really get the real person, you know, unless we do our reading. So, and because people don't read, I feel I have to do that through my art. I try to reflect that through my art. To try to keep, you know, those people and their memories and
the sacrifice of the life.
Okay, I appreciate that. When I be looking at art myself, and I look at the different movements that have been taking place, art has always been a form of propaganda worldwide in regards to get certain things accomplished, to get certain messages by, to convey certain meanings, and also to show a form of resistance, right? You know, how difficult is it for you in Palestine to get information about the struggle that's taking place in America?
Is that a question to me, sorry? Or?
Yeah, no, if for you.
Could you just repeat that?
Yeah, he was asking how important it is for those in Palestine to know about the struggle here in America.
It's immensely important, and I know I have many Palestinian friends who are based in the States, and you can see the solidarity between, you know, Black Lives Matter and the Palestinian solidarity movement. You know, they go hand in hand. You know, and I think we have to take that mantra which Malcolm again, you know, inspired us by saying you have to unite with what you have in common. You know, we have a common oppressor, so we have to unite, at least on the basis of that, you know. We could put our religions, our cultures, whatever, to one side in that respect and just unite because we have a common oppressor. And that's the only way we're going to make a real movement, you know, by doing that.
Okay.
So it's hugely important to Palestinians. What's happening in America, and people see it. I know many a time the world's changed a lot, you know, with the introduction of the internet, etc. People see that there is solidarity amongst the people. Obviously, not so much with the government and the ruling class, but the average, you know, Joe Blogs in the street, you know, they know what's happening, you know, and they automatically see what if something's wrong and it's happening. They could clearly see that, you know. They don't. Sadly, we have too many mainstream media that, you know, condition people to think a different way. But anyone who has a heart, I suppose, could connect with these stories, you know, real human stories.
Okay, I appreciate it. I got one more question for you. I know we here. We know it's new. We know it's political prisons over here in America, right? Are there a lot of political prisoners in Palestine, or the issue of political prisoners not even talked or discussed about in Palestine for real?
Palestinians, because Israel is effectively a military state. I mean, every person in Israel and every family, in one way or another, you know, works with the state to oppress Palestinians. You'll find that the Palestinians are mass incarcerated in Israeli prisons. I mean, one of the most famous ones is Marwan Barghouti, and again, he's a political prisoner, has been for well over a couple of decades now, in and out of prison. And there's countless others that, you know, sadly, because they don't have a voice, you know, and I really do try, and I know many others do too, to give those people a voice, you know, by trying to present their stories in a way. I mean, I suppose it's no surprise that Israel is like a 51st state of the United States. You know, their policies are very similar.
Okay. Again, I like.
Can I ask you a question? That's my question to him.
Okay. Brother Hamza, you heard him?
I couldn't hear the question.
I said, have you physically been inside the Gaza Strip?
Did you ask whether I've been to the Gaza Strip?
No, I want to know, have you physically been inside the Gaza Strip and spoke to the sisters and brothers there?
2010, I was in Gaza, yes.
Okay, all right, okay.
Okay. Okay. Brother Hounds, I like to thank you for coming to our broadcast, show you another understanding. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Open the line for a couple of callers so they can join the dialogue right quick. Just for a couple of callers right quick. Let me see. You got a call? Press one.
Got
a question? Press one.
Appreciate you bringing us onto this platform.
Brother Hamza, he's safe going to bring on a few callers real quick just to ask a few questions.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Okay. 843-327, the line is open. Yeah. Any question, comment, statement, or announcement, please do so the time. Your line is open. 843-327, your line is open.
Free to land, Conrad Mungo. I'm just tapping in in solidarity with the brothers and sisters on the line tonight.
Okay, good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, good brother. The elder Audrey had mentioned resources that for the catcher were able to obtain. Right? Did you hear the information that he said?
Yeah. I was actually interested in receiving the survival guide, the survival manual.
Can I give him the address right now?
Yeah, go ahead. You can go ahead. You can get it to him.
89 Marcus Street.
Hold on, give me a second so I can get it.
Huh?
I said, give me a second.
He said, get him a second, get a pen right quick.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
I just the envelope to Bonnie. 89 Marcus Street, 6th floor, Newark, New Jersey. Prison watch. 89 Marcus Street, 6th floor.
All right, 6th floor.
Just a prison watch on the envelope. It's Newark, New Jersey. And the zip is 07-201.
07-201?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we can send you tons of literature. And again, if you want to learn more about me and Bonnie, just go to YouTube and Google our names, and you can see our DVDs.
Okay, you said 89 Market Street or Market Street?
No, 89 Market Street, 6th floor.
Okay, 89 Market Street, as in Marcus, Marcus or Mark?
Market.
Market.
Yeah.
Market.
And the zip, okay. New Jersey.
Yeah, I got it. Appreciate it, Elder Man.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it. That's all you got to say. That's all you got, Mungo, or you got something else? You want to say something else?
Yeah, I'm good right here. I appreciate it, Conrad.
No doubt. Okay, appreciate you calling in. Okay, let them open another line right quick, see if they got anything to say. 614-285, your line is open. You got any question, comment, or statement, or announcement, please do us at the time. 614-285, your line is open.
I apologize. You know, I'm in recovery, so I was only able to get on about 5 minutes ago, so I'm not sure what y'all are discussing or who the guest is. So I'm going to humbly pass. I yield.
Okay. We understand that, Elder Mama Connie. It's all good. It's understood. But you know, the guests can tell you who they are. They hear you. They can tell you who they are, so you can understand. You know what's going on.
Hey, see, you can tell our sister that Prison Watch, we just created a pamphlet about survival for women too in isolation, and we have that in Spanish and English. So if she's interested in that, you know, she's welcome to whatever copies she may want.
I'm an old school political prisoner and prisoner of war, as well as a supporter of black political prisoners and prisoners of war going back 30 to 40 years. And I'm blind at present. So unless you have audio versions, I'm unable to appreciate what you're trying to share with me, but I do thank you.
We don't have the audio versions. I'm sorry for that.
I look forward to when you do.
Okay.
Thank you in advance.
Okay, yeah. We appreciate it. All right, so Sister Tomiko.
Yes, Brother Bomani.
Could you please explain to Elder Mama Kanya exactly what the event is in regard to the Black and Resistance? Can you explain to her what it is, what's going on?
Yes, and thank you again. So always an honor to be on George Jackson University Radio, in which I represent George Jackson, one of the greatest resistors, one of those. In the U.S., along with Brother Malcolm, H. Rapp Brown, Iman Jamil Amin, Momia, Suniata Coley, Leonard Peltier, Rochelle McGee, you know, these resistors that we often talk about. And so folks like this were the inspiration for this international art exhibition. As Brother Ojiri and Brother Hamza mentioned earlier, you know, they were selected because their artwork is about resistance. And so originally we had named the show something else, but it was Brother Ojiri, as I was talking to him, and we were having a conversation, and I was asking him, like, what is the main things that is occurring today? And he said the lack of resistance. And so that was our inspiration, and that's why the show is entitled the exhibition Resistance in Black. And so black is a power color. A black absorbs every color, everything. Everything begins in black, even us. Genesis in black, total blackness, and we return to that. And so this international art exhibition will showcase these artists, but also is to inspire us to resist. In the years coming, the decades coming, it's going to be very important that we are reminded by the folks that they have in their artwork, these artists, Bob Noza, Gail Dickinson, Ojiri Latalo, Brother Hamza, that these resistors, they remind us to resist. And so the show will be going on this Saturday, again, the 26th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can find out about the show if you want to send an email, resistnblk@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, resistinblack@gmail.com. Also, the Jericho Movement, their social media will have up the flyer. Emails are constantly being sent out. You can also look at the IG page, Instagram page of Hamza, which is Hans Revo, and Bob Noza's IG page. And so this is just the first part of a two-part exhibition. And so we hope to just fire people up and to remind them to resist going forward.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Is that the sister you still on?
Yes, this is
yes, the
one. Oh, and then, okay, you still, you know what, we have to do an audio. Omar, you gave us a call of duty. We have got to do an audio. If you oblige my sister, we have got to do that manual that Brother Ojiri was talking about. We got to talk to Bonnie and us, and we've got to do it in audio so you will have that at your disposal. I was so humbled to hear you call in and just your background, and that's going to be part of our exhibition coming up in August is our women warriors. And what our women warriors do and how they have inspired us. And so it's women like yourself that give birth to us. So I'm honored and humbled to have you call in and hear your voice.
Thank you. You made me smile today.
It made you smile today.
If you're interested in knowing anything about me, and especially about my work in terms of support of political prisoners and POWs and my time incarcerated, Bomani can give you my website address, and then you'll really have a real clue about the warrior female that I am. And I thank you in advance. I thank you.
I want to make sure you join us on Saturday, because you may not be able to visually see, but you'll be able to hear us and the artists describe their works, which will be very important.
Is there a number I can call?
Yeah, Brother Bomani, can you make Brother Bomani's gonna make sure he gives you the number. You can, it's gonna be on Zoom, but you can also call in.
Oh,
you'll be able to hear it.
I can't get on Zoom. Zoom does not accommodate blind people.
Your phone.
Zoom
does not accommodate. No. Far as I know, she's not talking about the video. She's talking about, like, you can call in. It's a caller number. Like, you call into the show right now, and you can be able to listen.
Oh, okay.
But without the video, you ain't do all the other stuff. You just had the audio, you know.
Excellent. Thank you for making that clear for me, because I misunderstood. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
our
brother
Malcolm
said,
yeah,
by
okay.
any means necessary, we are committed and we are responsible to find a way for everyone to be exposed to what resistance and what these artists are about. So, yes, please call in.
Yes,
okay. I'm going to send information to you here tomorrow, Mom. I'm sending information to you so you can be able to get access to it. I'm gonna send it to you. Like, you did from the same time ago.
I yield.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate that. We thank you. Yeah, in this moment, I'd like to have can y'all give y'all final thoughts? What y'all wanna leave with any kind of information, social media, you wanna leave with any kind of quotes, leave with any kind of content information, or leave with some quotes that will. I want y'all final thoughts at a particular moment. I'm gonna start with Elder Audrey. What are your final thoughts?
So my final thought is this: dare to struggle, dare to win, and resistance means attack. Not just talk, attack. That's it.
Okay, we appreciate you, Elder. Brother Hamza, what are your final thoughts?
First of all, I'm really grateful to be on this platform. God bless you for arranging it with Sister Tomiko. I hope, because we've got four different perspectives on resistance going from, you know, four different parts of the world and four different artists, I think it'll be a good way to see the mediums we use and how we reflect, you know, our feelings and emotions through that work. So, I'm, like I said, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be with these great artists as well. So, I hope you get to see it.
True indeed. I appreciate you for coming on. You know what I'm saying? The willingness to do what you do. You know, I appreciate that. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast. Welcome. So, Tomiko, what are your final thoughts, sister?
I think, brother. You know, Hamza and Brother OJ has said it in different ways, but it's important. You know, our artists have always been important to all of our movements, in particular during our Black Power movement, our Civil Rights movement. They got more raw, more into the person visually. And so our art should be utilized also as a weapon. It should be used as a turn, as a piece of defense, as armor, as attack, all of these different things to cut through the oppression and the inhumanity that surrounds us. And so artists such as these are really our frontline workers, in a sense. And so going forward, we should continue to bring them into our space and really, really see them for the brilliance and what they are, because they speak to the masses that some of us as organizations cannot reach. They reach these folks. And so more so than ever, we need people to be reached. And so art is that weapon and that tool that's going to reach them. And so we're just so honored again to be a part of it. I didn't plan on talking tonight, but I'm so honored to be a part of it. Anything to do with George Jackson, of course, and with these brilliant artists, I'm just excited and humbled to be with them. And I'm glad they said yes to me and Sister Aisha. And so we're looking forward to it. So if you come on Saturday, you will not regret it. You will not forget it. The end of this month, Black History Month, really is Black History Year, African Year, and it's going to be, we fade into black. For the next decade, it's all in black. We return into the blackness. Yes.
True indeed. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that.
Let me see. I think one of my comrades got time to say open the line up. 5-1-10-4-7-8. You have anything? You have any question, comment, statement to make? Your line's open. 5-1-10-4-7. Your line's open. You have any kind of question, comment, statement? Lead us with your time.
Right. Email. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know, I like to say this. If you had any comrade, associate, or loved one behind enemy lines, if you're looking to our website, which is www.georgeuniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgeuniversity.com. And also that we have an upcoming event. We're having New African Nation Day to take place in Birmingham, Alabama, from the 25th to the 27th. For more information, you can go to Eventbrite and type in New African Nation Day 2022, or you can also go onto the Facebook page of Republic of Africa, or the Instagram page, Republic of Africa, Rising Republic, PG Republic of Africa, or the Twitter page, Republic of Africa. Or you also go onto our website, which is www.pg-rna.com. Again, I'm going to say long live the resistance, long live the new African independent movement, and free all the political freedom, free all the catch of this, free the land.